Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Music Matters version of the podcast and the final episode of 24's podcast until like March 4th, I think. It's like sometime in March. Yeah, I was right. It's March 4th. I'm going to take a 2-week break. I was supposed to take a break during Thanksgiving, but I was on that path. I was on that grind. It feels like I've been taking a break here and there. Like, I want to take a real break off. God, I'm so burnt out. I'm just so burnt out. God. Feels like I should take more time off. But I'm going to take 2 weeks off. And I will be back, I think, right after the Combine. And we'll discuss the Combine. And Bahrain is also, I think, next week, the first Formula One race. I'm getting caught up on Formula... Not even caught up. I mean, I'm caught up on Formula One. I already... watch some breakdowns of what happened in the first day of testing, and we'll get back into Formula One. Stop talking about Formula One kind of middle of the season. Not middle of the season, late in the season, because it was obvious what was going to happen. Max was winning every damn race by huge margins. There's no interesting narratives or storylines going on. I was so sad, but also so happy because Max is such a fun driver to watch. But he's not racing against anybody. He's literally racing against himself. It's like if Max doesn't make huge mistakes, then it's just like, then, you know, nobody's going to catch up with him. And it's completely and utterly boring to watch, unfortunately. Also, speaking of Formula One, a lot of TV shows coming out, weirdly enough, tomorrow, technically today. It's like Avatar: The Last Airbender. I was like, let me get my iPad. I have my iPad right here. Give me like 2 seconds. Hold on. Sorry. But there's like that new Formula One TV show. The new Formula One season of Drive to Survive is supposed to come out on Thursday, which is today. But it's too early in the morning for it to come out. And then you have the new Avatar TV show. You have Drive to Survive. I was looking at... oh, no. Drive to Survive comes out on Friday. My bad. Then when does the new Avatar TV show come out? It comes out on Thursday, right? It comes out today. Yeah, yeah, I was right. It's coming out on Thursday. And then also it's like I got the new frick, what was it? I got the new Demon Slayer movie. That's also supposed to come out on Thursday, or technically Friday, excuse me, Friday as well. On February 23rd. So there's a lot of really, really cool stuff that's coming out. God, man, I cannot wait. Cannot wait. It's going to be so awesome. A lot of great content, but this will be the final podcast for like 2 weeks, and then I will be back on March 4th. Anyways, I think I got my thing fixed with OBS where it just doesn't freaking stop working and stop playing. If you didn't catch the last podcast, it's also why I didn't podcast yesterday, because I was still having issues with it, and then I fixed it, I think, today. But essentially, I was just having massive, massive, massive issues. Whenever you update a computer, there's always some hiccups with some software that you use, and that's kind of what I was getting. I was just getting issues with some of the software that I was using, and I was mondo frustrated-o with it. But we're back. We are back now, or technically I'm back, and I think everything's going to be okay. Kind of wanted to talk about three things today. I wanted to talk about Beyonce, of course. Her new country album was teased during the Super Bowl, and kind of during the Grammys as well, because she wore a cowboy hat, stuff like that. So that was teased a little bit, but Beyonce's newest album... I wanted to talk about Taylor Swift, because of course we're always talking about Taylor Swift, so why not? But Taylor Swift, want to talk about Taylor, as well as Kanye West. Kind of like these interesting, weird, it's weird, it's like I'm talking about Taylor Swift, and I'm going to talk about freaking Kanye West, like two of the most polar opposite people. One is a very, very good person who is still making really, really awesome music, and the other person is a giant piece of dog shit that is making horrendous music. And I'll also kind of listen and watch. Let me see if I have a reaction video. The giant piece of dog shit is Kanye West. I want to make that very, very perfectly clear here. But I saw this reaction to people reacting to Anthony Fantano coming out and saying, like, yeah, I do not want, or I will not review this album because there's anti-Semitism in there, and there is also Kanye's a giant piece of shit, and he ties his anti-Semitism into his music. And so, and I perfectly agreed. I don't think I listened to any songs with the anti-Semitic viewpoints in it, but at the exact same time, I was like, I completely understand the notion that you're not gonna like review this giant piece of dog shit because of just the implications that are in it, the racial implications in it. But it's just so weird how reactive people have been with it, because I've seen people be like, that's not correct. He should review this anti-Semitic, dude, I can't even say the word. I'm so tired right now. It's like midnight. This racist, you know, piece of dog shit. He can, and he has to review this album by Kanye West, this Vultures album. And apparently it's supposed to be like one of many albums that he's supposed to release or something like that. And I just, my first question is why? Why is he making multiple giant pieces of dog shit? Why doesn't he just, you know, take his millions upon millions upon millions of dollars and just go the fuck home? Just go home. You know? You know what's just shocking to me? How much this dude has kind of fumbled the bag when it comes to just life in general. He's like one of the greatest artists, music producers of all time, one of the best rappers of all time. And it's like, I'll watch Kanye West just completely make an absolute buffoon of himself, an ass of himself, you know, and I will just watch his fans just be like, yep, he's an icon, he's a legend, he's this, he's that. And I'm just like, this motherfucker is fucking dumb as fuck. I was gonna watch somebody react to him, but let me try and find it here. There's so many people that were reacting to it and that were dunking on Anthony Fantano and that he should review the album and da 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 da. Anthony Fantano, I'll try and look it up. I'll try and look it up. Hold on. There's like one guy. Hold on. Let me find this. Give me like 2 seconds. I'm just going to go into my browser history and try and, I'm just going to type in Kanye West. Let me just type in Fantano because I can't find it. Reason why I can't find it is, unironically enough, it doesn't have it. I think this is it. Wait, have my thing unmuted? No. Give me like 2 seconds to try and find this. Hold on. Mm. Yeah, I can't find it. I'll just play a little bit of this. Hold on. No, this isn't it. I'm trying to find one of Kanye West's sycophantic fans that I was like, I just got this video just released, or not released, but recommended to me. And I was just like, I'm trying to find that exact same video of essentially this person. I didn't even see the video, but I know that the logic isn't founded, like isn't rooted in reality. So I'm just trying to find that review, but I cannot find that fucking review for some weird reason. Anthony Fantano is a loser. All right, this is perfect. 97,000 views. I'll talk about it. But first, I want to listen to Beyonce's newest two tracks, and I'll kind of give you my opinion and my perspective on it. All right. 16 Carriages, first track by Beyonce. You know what? Before I get into Beyonce, like, I was already talking about Kanye West. Let me finish my my analysis on Kanye West and kind of before we get into this whole thing. Look, if you like Kanye West as an artist, that is perfectly fine. Like, by the way, I don't think people understand the concept of separating the art from the artist. And this is the same problem that a lot of people had with Tory Lanez, right? Like, if you're going to say, I like Tory Lanez, the artist, okay. But you also have to recognize, objectively, Tory Lanez is a mediocre to below mediocre artist. He is like a carbon copy of Drake and not even good at doing Drake's repeated shtick of mixing R&B with hip hop. He's not even very good at that, to be honest with you. There, one of my favorite scenes in the Creed movie is a Tory Lanez Meek Mill track. I'll play it for you. It's one of the tracks that I listen to whenever I go running, because it's just such an amazing scene paired with a very awesome, great track by, yes, the track is made by Meek Mill and Tory Lanez, but I'll play you a little bit of the scene here. I have it in my YouTube recommendations because I'm always listening to it. But here's a little bit of it.
But I think he's got something up his sleeve for you.
Hold on. So that way you don't get fucking weird ass thoughts. That smacking is dudes hitting pads. All right, get your mind out of the fucking gutter. Right? Hold on, this is one of the best parts of the song. The drums, Meek Mill rapping, Creed running in the scene. It's a fucking great fucking scene in the movie. Do you want to know what's missing in this song? And this is before Tory Lanez's whole case with Megan Thee Stallion. I mean, this movie came out in, I think, 2016 or 2015. I mean, this is a very, like, this is a 10-year-old movie almost. The thing that's missing is Tory Lanez's part. They completely cut it out of the movie because it sucks. It's a god-awful part. Michael Jackson is a certified pedophile. He is a absolutely horrendous human being. Horrendous human being. I still listen to Michael Jackson to this day. Not because I support him as a person. Not because I think that he is not a pedophile who slept with children in the 80s and the 90s. But because his music is so great and so infallible, not that it justifies what he did, but it's fantastic. It doesn't justify what he does, but it's just like objectively Beat It, which is a terrible song for a name, by the way, is a fantastic. I mean, listen to this shit. Hold on. Listen to this. Like, look, again, right? That song and Thriller and all of his hits and all of his great music, it doesn't justify his actions. It doesn't condone his actions. It's just in a objective, detached perspective, this is a great song. If he was alive today, he should be in prison. I don't think he would be in prison, but he should be in prison. And I think people, essentially what they do when they use the separate the artist from the art argument, or more specifically, it's not even an argument. It's kind of like a philosophical observation, right? When people use that, they use that if somebody has good music, they will say, look, he made great music, and so that means that he's able to do all of this terrible stuff. And I think that's a terrible... I think one thing... isn't related to the other. Michael Jackson being a great musical artist has nothing to do with him being a pedophile and the vice versa. At least in my opinion. It's like I can admit that he has great music and I can also admit that he should be in jail and should have been in jail. Same thing goes with Kanye West. Kanye West, at one point in time in his career, I feel like created great music. I feel like now I don't even know what I'm listening to. You can't listen to Vultures. I think in Kanye West's case, like, if I'm looking at Michael Jackson's case in Kanye's, I think Kanye's case, his music is related to his personality because he kind of makes it a part of his personality. Again, like, there's anti-Semitic marks within his music that are tied to his anti-Semitic marks that he has made in real life. It would be kind of different if Michael Jackson said Beat It and he was referring to, like, maybe, like, his pedophilia, if he was referring to that. I think that would probably be a terrible thing to like essentially loop into his music, but he doesn't do that. Like sometimes Michael Jackson will just say and do things in his music that just sounds good, but means literally nothing. In the case of Kanye West, he's kind of doing the opposite. But even furthermore to that, like to kind of go a little bit deeper intellectually, right? You have artists that will make good music, but the music isn't attached to who they are in real life. And then you have artists that like Kanye West, whose music is attached to kind of what's going on with his real life and things of that nature. And then kind of this like whole narrative and theme of separating art from the artist and kind of what exactly that means. It is, for me personally speaking, that term is used for people who have horrendous, who have made horrendous decisions, right, within their life, and has put fans in horrendous spots to consume their music. For some weird reason, Kanye West fans and Kanye West supporters are like the only motherfuckers that will go to bat for this motherfucking guy for like no reason whatsoever. It's like they will ride his nuts for no reason whatsoever. And I'm like, in the same thing, I was shocked at how hard people were riding for Tory Lanez too. I'm like, these motherfuckers, especially with Tory Lanez, Tory Lanez didn't create fucking any good music. Name me one Tory Lanez song. Name me one motherfucking Tory Lanez song right now. You can't. I can't. I can name you a bajillion Kanye West songs before he went and lost his damn mind. But I can't name you really any Tory Lanez songs. And I did this on the last podcast that we were talking about Kanye West and Vultures, I think last week, where I was listening to it and I was like, this shit sucks. I was listening to that album and I was like, this guy is the guy that made Through the Wire. I'll play you Through the Wire. Check this shit out. Check this fucking shit out. I cannot believe that Kanye West did this. Like, that made this song. Listen to this. Love this song. Love it.
It's too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I gladly risk it all right now. It's a life or death situation, man. Y'all don't really understand how I feel right now, man. It's your boy Kanye Titter. Shottown, what's going on? Yeah, I drink a boost for breakfast, an intro for dessert. Somebody order pancakes, I just sip the scissor. That right there could drive a sane man bizzard. Not to worry, Mr. Ace to the Izzles back to wizard. How do you console my mom? Or give her light support? Telling her son's own life support. And just imagine how my girl feel. On the planes, get as hell that
look,
I got.
Look like Emmett Till.
She was with me before the deal. She been trying to be mine. She a Delta, so she been throwing that dynasty sign. No use me trying to be lying. I've been trying to be signed. Trying to be a millionaire. How I use two lifelines.
Right? Like, his face is wired shut in this music video. He is like, when he, the song is called Through the Wire. It's a metaphor, but it has literal, like literal meaning. Like, he is literally spinning things through a wire, right? Like, a wire because his jaw is wired shut. But he's also kind of like talking about his life and the difficulties that this process has had on him physically and mentally. And so he is spitting through that wire, spitting hot bars. It's a great metaphor. It's a great use, great instrumental as well. And it's like this, and I played this exact song, and then I played a song from Vultures, and I was like, this guy made these two songs, and they are defending one song off of Vultures. This song sucks. And I didn't even catch the anti-Semitism in it. That's the thing. I was listening to the songs that people were talking about that were hot, and I was like, full stop, I can't listen to this guy anymore. Now, the whole artist from the art, separating the artist from the art thing, that only works if you have proper context. And the context is this. It doesn't make you morally superior or intellectually superior. It doesn't make, you know, it doesn't do anything. Like, it's just like, okay, you can separate the artist from the art. Cool. It doesn't make you smarter. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make the argument more sound or whatever. It's just something that you can objectively do. Because the reality of the situation is that if I was one of his victims, in the case of if I was one of Michael Jackson's victims, I probably could never listen to another Michael Jackson song ever again. You have to have like actual context to it. right? And I think a lot of people trying to be intellectual are like, I can separate the artist from the art. So should Anthony Fantano. So should anyone else who essentially listens to Kanye West. And if you can't separate the art from the artist, and if you say anything bad about this album, then you're just a grifter and you hate Kanye West and you don't understand how awesome his music is. And it's just like, no, I understand how awesome his music is. I just played Through the Wire. What I don't understand is people going out of their way to defend him and his new music. That's what I don't understand. I literally played a part of Kid See Ghost with Kid Cudi. I think that album is fantastic. I think College Dropout and Graduation are fantastic albums. I think this new shit is fucking terrible. And it unironically has nothing to do with his anti-Semitism in it, because I didn't listen to it. It has everything to do with his lyricism, his wordplay, the actual formation of the instrumentals. I wasn't even that big of a fan of Donda, to be honest with you. I was like, eh, he could do better. And he has done better. But a lot of people have given Anthony Fantano a lot of flack over the last couple of weeks over something that's kind of blatantly obvious. And this video is from Chicho. And he is, I don't know. Well, I don't know what's going on. Let's listen in. I'm hoping that he is going to defend Kanye West, but we will see. Hold on.
Make some people upset, and I understand that going into this. That's why I'm going to give you a protocol that I want you to follow if at any point throughout this video you get upset. Rule one, if you get upset anytime throughout this video, you are now no longer allowed to click off the video. If you get mad at me and click off the video, you don't even know what else I was gonna say. Maybe we end up agreeing more than you think. Rule number two.
I may just fast forward it because this is a 23 minute video and we're 21 seconds in, and I don't know. Like, it's one of those videos on YouTube of a guy talking over the CSGO videos of the guy like with the knife and he's like jumping and hopping off of like pyramids and triangles and stuff like that. It's one of those videos, you know? So let's see what he has to say.
Two, use your words. If you want to correct something that I've said or argue with me, the comment section is here for a reason. Write a convincing comment telling me why I'm wrong. Anyway, let's get into this. Anthony Fantano is one of the largest music review / critique channels on YouTube, and he's been making his videos where he reviews music for over 10 years, which has gained him a level of respect in the music community. You know, when this guy gives a review for something, a lot of people take it very seriously. Now, music...
I'm gonna start fast-forwarding because... he's got to get to the point.
Like most other art forms, it's heavily subjective. There's a reason why some people like some genres of music and not others. Some instruments or sounds are piercing and annoying to some people's ears and sonically pleasing to others. Some people even deny the fact that certain genres of music are even music in the first place.
But because dude. The fact that I can get everything... Sorry if you can't, but I can get everything that he's saying at 2x speed right now. How is he speaking this slowly? Where I can actually understand perfectly everything that he's saying right now at 2x speed... Oh, God, just why is your fucking video 23 minutes long? Why is it fucking 23 minutes long? This should be a 5-minute video.
Subjective, it can be hard to give it an objective score, although I do think doing so is possible. I think music and comedy are very similar when it comes to the subjectivity of its enjoyment. Obviously, certain people enjoy different types of humor in the same way that different people enjoy different genres of music. And so even if, let's say, I like rap and you like rock, you can still understand why I enjoy rap and I can understand why you enjoy rock. Or I like Theo Von and you like Bill Burr, for example. But one thing I think most people can agree on is Amy Schumer is very unfunny, just overall, objectively. And this song that I'm about to play to most people would just sound like complete garbage noise. And that's enough of that, but I bring this all up to say it is challenging to objectively score a song or an album just based on how subjective music is. But most of the time, it is possible to be at least pretty accurate. Well, Kanye West is one of the biggest pop stars and rappers of, like, all time. I don't think he needs an introduction. And, well, obviously, recently, over the past year or two, he's got himself into a lot of controversy for statements that he's made, things that he said, etc. But I'm not here to do a group therapy session and hold everybody's hand while we go over the things that Kanye said and we just dissect them and see, like, oh, why did he say this? Why did he say that, bro? This is not what this is about. Kanye, above everything else, is a music artist. Music is what made him famous. Music is what gave him an audience and fans. And so when your job is to review music on YouTube, you need to just review the music. Do not do a political analysis of the things that he's saying. Don't talk about his history, his personal life, etc. Just talk about the music. Okay, that's it. Just review the album. Well, Anthony Fantano refuses to do that, and I think it's
okay. So now we're getting into the core of the argument, and I'll kind of go back a little bit, and I'll play a little bit of it. Here it is.
said, and we just dissect them and see, like, oh, why did he say this? Why did he say that, bro? This is not what this is about. Kanye, above everything else, is a music artist. Music is what made him famous. Music is what gave him an audience and fans. And so when your job is to review music on YouTube, you need to just review the music. Do not do a political analysis of the things that he sang. Don't talk about his history, his personal life, etc. Just talk about the music, okay? That's it. Just...
okay. This guy didn't do his homework. Let me pull something up really, really fast. Super easy. First and foremost, Anthony Fantano did, this whole, like, fucking situation with Anthony Fantano. Essentially, people are going after him because Anthony Fantano will not review the new Kanye West album. And let me try and find it. And he actually does talk about the lyricism, too. Or not the lyricism, but the music itself. Ed, I'll play a little bit of it.
And feel like it's totally beyond the pale. And even if this record was somehow good, what am I supposed to do? Tell the Jews and my audience, aw, come on, man. He didn't mean it. It's not so bad. He's just a little crazy, that's all. Especially since he's not doing anything to gain forgiveness. He is very apparently not sorry for anything he's been saying or doing. And the apologies he has given aren't worth a lick of shit. Because he'll think nothing of saying Jesus Christ, Hitler, yay, sponsor that, not too long after. Now, there are some people who will say, Anthony, you're being unfair here. Separate the art from the artist. Come on now. You can't separate this crap from the music because it's in the music. Look at the lyrics. Read these words.
So the lyrics, by the way, are crazy, bipolar, anti-Semite, and I'm still the king. Still the king. Still the, they thought headlines was my kryptonite. Still the king. Still the king. Another line is, I'm going to come through and just black out, keep a few Jews on the staff now. Another line is, how I'm anti-Semitic, I just fucked a Jewish bitch, I just fucked Scooter's bitch, and we ran her like Olympics. So, for everybody like a Chicho or whatever his name is that was like, separate the... what did he say? He said, like, we don't need a political analysis, just... review the music. It's like, Dum Dum, A, you didn't even watch the fucking Fantano fucking video. B, you didn't even fucking listen to the fucking album and listen to how fucking bad it is. And then C, you didn't even fucking watch the fucking video. Why is your video 23 minutes long? Why is your video 23 minutes long? It's like you can bitch and moan for 23 fucking minutes about Kanye West and Anthony Fantano not reviewing his fucking shitty ass new album, but you can't even fucking trim your goddamn video to be less than 23 fucking minutes? Are you shitting me? But yeah, weird controversy where people are like, Anthony Fantano should review the album. It's a 0 out of 10. I won't say a 0 out of 10 because even though I've listened to some of it, I haven't listened to all of it. Maybe there's something redeeming on it. But I listened to enough of it where I was like, this sucks. And it's nowhere near on pace for Kanye West. It's nowhere near as good on pace. And again, I didn't even pick up on the anti-Semitic shit. And I think I'd either listened to one song with the anti-Semitism in it or no songs. And I was like, this album sucks. Go back and listen to my podcast if you don't. Excuse me, if you don't think I did. I was like, this is the dumbest shit ever. And you know what? I was interested in Kanye West's newest album for the whole concept of it's Kanye West, and he's a very prominent artist and a prominent rapper. But yikes, 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 yikes. That new album fucking sucked. I didn't even listen to Donda Part 2, if I'm 100% honest with you, because I was like, I didn't really like the first Donda, and I certainly probably won't like the second. I'm a huge Eminem fan. I'm a huge stan. But even I was like, I can't listen to Music to be Murdered by Part 2. Because I really wasn't that big of a fan of Music to be Murdered by Part 1. And Eminem hasn't done dumbass shit like Kanye West. So, God, man. The whole just weird fanaticism with Kanye West is... I don't understand it. I don't understand Kanye West at all. I don't understand Kanye West. I don't understand the nut riding of Kanye West. It's like, you do, in the whole intellectual, like, argument of separate the artist from the art. It's just like, dude, the art fucking sucks. You know? And Kanye West didn't do exactly what you told him to. You know what I mean? Anyways, 16 Carriages by Beyonce coming up. Actually a fucking good song. It's shocking how amazing Beyonce is as an artist and how consistent her work is. Even now with a country album. There's the whole controversy of how a radio station wouldn't play Beyonce because they're like, she's not a country artist. And she literally came out with country music. And it's because the people who listen to these country album, not country albums, but these country radio stations do not probably listen to good music and or do not listen to Beyonce. So, anyways, 16 Carriages coming up next.
Driving away while I watch them ride with my dreams away to the summer sunset on a holy night on a long black road. All the tears I fight. 16 carriages driving away while I watch them ride with my dreams away to the summer sunset on a holy night on a long black road. All the tears I fight. 15. Innocence was gone astray. Had to leave my home at an early age. I saw mama praying. I saw daddy grind. All my tender problems had to leave behind. It's been umpteen summers and I'm not in my bed. On the back of the bus in a bunk with the band. Going so hard, gotta choose myself. Underpaid and overwhelmed. I might cook clean but still won't fold. Still working all my life, you know. Only God knows, only God knows, only God knows. 16 carriages driving away while I watch them ride with my fears away into the summer sunset on a holy night on a long back road. All the tears I fight. 16 carriages driving away while I watch them ride with my fears away to the summer sunset on a holy night on a long back road. All the tears I fight. $16 working all day, ain't got time to waste. I got art to make. Love to create on this holy night. They won't dim my light. All these years I fight. It's been 38 summers and I'm riding my bed. On the back of the bus in a bunk with a band. Going so hard, now I miss my kids. Overworked and overwhelmed. I might cook clean but still won't fall. Still working on my life, you know. Only God knows, only God knows, only God knows. 16 carriages driving away. Take it home at an early age. I saw mama crying. I saw daddy lying. Had to sacrifice and leave my fears behind. For legacy, if it's the last thing I do, you'll remember me. Cause we got something to prove in your memory. On a highway to truth. Still see our faces when you close your eyes. Driving away while I watch them ride with my dreams away.
Hmm. 16 Carriages, Beyonce. Super interesting track. A track that, I'm not going to lie to you, I mean, I like a lot of Beyonce's vocals on a lot. on a lot of her tracks. I like her, not even her vocals really. I mean, I like her vocals a lot, but I like her instrumentals and the way that she crafts her instrumentals. They're so detailed, they're so rich, they're polished. It's some of the best when it comes to crafting. And let me play you a little bit of Renaissance here. Like, I don't know how she just gets the richness within so much of her instrumentals. It's just, oh gosh, it's just so good stuff. So much good stuff. Let me go to Renaissance. I'll play you a little bit of, I'll just play a little bit of Cuff It. Why not?
I feel like falling in love. I'm in the mood to fuck something up.
There's just so much here when it comes to Beyonce and her instrumental.
I wanna go missing. I need a prescription. I wanna go higher. Can I sit on top of you? I wanna go where nobody's
been. The clapping. This is the best part of the song. After the bridge, I think. Here comes the hook. Here it comes, right now. It's like the vocals. I remember when I listened to Renaissance the first time around, I was like, are the vocals her own? Because it sounds like it. Or are they like backup singers that she had? I feel like it's just, but regardless, the way that they layer on top of her like main vocals is just fantastic. Like everything that Beyonce does in Renaissance is just fantastic. And it feels like it got transferred over to, I don't even know the title of the new album. It's Renaissance Act 2. That's what it's called. Excuse me, I thought it was Texas Hold'em, but it's Renaissance Act 2. She's going to create... Isn't Beyonce going to create, like, a jazz or a rock version of Renaissance? Because essentially, Renaissance is all about taking back, essentially, music that has been... like, taken away from African Americans and things of that nature, or has been... What is it? Not popularized... But, like, I forgot what it's called. But essentially, it's, like, that's the goal. It's to, like, have a renaissance of these musical genres through her, not reinterpretation, but from her kind of, like, performances and her crafting of these specific songs and albums. And Renaissance Act 2 is kind of a representation of that. But, yeah, I thought it was going to be like Tech. I thought the album was called Texas Hold'em because that's what the first track was that she released. She released two tracks after the Super Bowl. This is the second one, Texas Hold'em, Beyonce.
This ain't Texas. Alexis, and throw your keys up. Hey! Stick around, round, 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 round.
Stick around.
And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you. Ooh. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a bitch, come take it to the floor now. Ooh. There's a tornado.
There's a tornado
in my city.
In my city.
At the basement.
At the basement.
That shit ain't pretty.
Shit ain't pretty.
Rugged whiskey.
I gotta pause it here, right? Talking about that richness. Like, I feel like a lot of producers, some people complain about live performances of instruments in, like, in recordings. Like, everybody talks about how, like live performances of instruments when it comes to these recordings is great, and it provides a richness and a sound that you cannot replicate via digital... what is it, like, computers and stuff like that. I'd kind of disagree. It's just like it kind of just depends on the producer and the artist and the kind of attention to detail with the artist and the producer. Like, some people don't mind that sound of kind of a digital instrument, and then other people don't mind the sound of like a live instrument. But sometimes the richness and the color of that instrument is not there, especially in the instrumental, and it's very, very easy to detect because you just put something like this, Texas Hold'em, next to a song that really doesn't have a lot of attention to detail, and then you'll be like, oh, it's very, very crystal clear. Like, on this track, you can hear the guitars, you can hear the layered vocals, but you can also hear the shaking, the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch of whatever shaker that she's using to add to the instrumental. It's fantastic.
All the red cup kisses, sweet redemption, passing time, yeah. Ooh, one step to the right, we headed to the dive bar we always thought was nice. Ooh, run me to the left, then spin me in the middle, boy, I can't read your mind. This ain't Texas, ain't no holding.
Wow. Theme of both tracks that I kind of missed, really, and I shouldn't have. Just this huge change in the song's direction when it comes to the vocals and the instrumentals. About halfway through it, you hear this up-tempo, or maybe not, yeah, a little bit of up-tempo. It's kind of the sense of urgency throughout the rest of the song, as well as, you know, these added layers of different music. Oh my god, I'm tired. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning right now. But you have this like different layer of music, right? That's added in, or excuse me, instruments. You have more guitars, heavier guitars, electric guitars, instead of just, you know, this acoustic guitar as well, or these acoustic strings. It's just, it's a very, very, very interesting way to kind of go about these songs versus versus Renaissance. I don't know if she'll do it on every single song, but the fact that she is doing it on both of the singles that she's released, this kind of increase in tempo, increase in in music, or excuse me, increase in instruments, all this good stuff, I think is kind of telling on how she's going to maybe craft the album long term. It's going to be super interesting as an album. Can't wait to get into it. Nice little two tracks that she released as well. I kind of wanted to talk and end and close with Taylor Swift and her release her release of a lot of these new albums, right? These new release albums, like these Taylor's versions, excuse me, of all of these albums. Fearless, Speak Now, and Red, and 1989 are all re-released as these albums that she has released, or excuse me, as these albums that she has released because she wants to own the masters of these recordings. And certain fans and critics have said that these albums are not as good as the originals. Some of these albums aren't as good as the originals. As somebody who's listened to the new albums for the first time, I don't know. I like the new albums. I like the new albums a lot. I'm a bit shocked that certain fans don't enjoy the albums and that there's been a bit of revisionist history to the old albums versus the new albums. Taylor's vocals on the new albums, to me, are great. They're great because, as a vocalist, she is awesome. She knows how to control her voice. She knows how to express certain songs with certain in certain ways with her vocals. She's a very mature artist. She's been doing this for 20 plus years, probably, at this point in her life. And so she knows how to express herself using her voice and using her vocals through her music. And her voice, she's kind of grown into it as well. And here on Speak Now, I mean, she was like 19, right? 18, 19. So she was like a teenager when she made this album. And for me, it's just like, I think the vocals kind of reflect it, where it's just like, yeah, she's always been, Taylor has always been an amazing songwriter. I mean, she's just been fantastic. But as a vocalist, it's not that she hasn't been fantastic. It's just that there's certain things that she's learned and she's developed over time that is reflective upon her more current music. Like, the new Speak Now to me sounds a lot like Folklore and Evermore, which to me are two of her better sounding albums really ever. Like, she knows what she's doing, she knows how to do it, etc., etc. And I kind of wanted to play this dichotomy of a song that she has on Speak Now called Haunted. I'll play the original version of it, and then I'll play the new version of it. And to me, it took me like 10 to 20 seconds to be like, forget about the instrumentals here. It's just the vocals are just superior in regards to the original version versus the new version. It's like the original version cannot hold a candle to the new version when it comes to the vocals. Here's Speak Now, original version, Taylor Swift.
Leave one. And that's kind of like where we'll end it with that version of it. And it sounds like her vocals sound really, really good, right? But I was like, man, like I the reason why I'm doing this comparison is because I saw this Reddit post of Speak Now, Taylor's version, and people were like, it sounds like she's not as emotional, or she doesn't have that emotional depth with the new version as she did it with the old one. And I was like, what? Here's the new version. I got it pulled up right here. Here's the new version. By the way, the quietness of it is because for some weird reason, I don't know what goes on with my computer, but sometimes whenever I'm recording on OBS, it sounds... Let me make this a fair fight. Give me like 2 seconds. I'll just look it up on YouTube, because which is where I was playing the original version, because I'm like, for some weird reason, iTunes, damn it, music, is Apple Music is just like tripping out. I don't know what's going on with it. I'm just going to play it through YouTube, and we'll kind of roll with this one. Okay, here we go. Haunted, Taylor's version by Taylor Swift. I mean, to say, obviously, that the vocals are better, I think, and not even the vocals, but the instrumentals are better, for example. Like, there is a little bit of strings, kind of like, I think, like, I forgot at what point there were more strings, but it sounded like there were more strings at one point, kind of in the chorus. But yeah, like, to me, the new version sounds better than the old version. Like, she nailed it. She killed it. Now, on other tracks, for example, in 1989, I'll have to go back and listen to 1989, the new one, and the old one. But like, I feel like Taylor's version of all of these albums, Fearless, Speak Now, and Red, is a success. I feel like they do exactly what Taylor envisioned, in the sense of recreating these albums and these songs with very, very little deviation from the original. She can't go back in time and sound like she's 18, 19 years old. In fact, I kind of wouldn't want her to, but the reality and the fact of the matter is that she sounds fantastic on it. She sounds like an adult. She sounds like a veteran in the industry, and I like that versus, I don't want to say a novice, for example, but somebody who isn't as weathered and seasoned as Taylor is currently. I think she sounds much, much, much better on it. And when it comes to the musical direction of the album and of that song, I think it's better on Speak Now, if I were to include like observations about the instrumental. I'm tired. I'm very tired, not just because of the late night that I've had, but of the late year. I am giga burnt out this year. Not this year, but like today, I was so exhausted. With just like school and life and things of that nature. I've just been so tired. And I want reprieve. I want a rest. And I will take that rest. And I will get that rest. And I will come back. And I will be fitter. I will be fitter. I will be ready to go here bright and early Monday, March the 4th. I'll be juiced up. I'll be excited. Until Monday, March the 4th. Hope you have a fantastic week. Technically 2 weeks. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.